Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. And of course, this is our very special listener appreciation show that we are very excited to be doing today. This was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. A little bit of work.
Yeah, a little bit of, but you know, a little bit of work is never a bad thing when the results are good.
No.
So
I had a lot of fun with it, and actually was turned on to a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that there's nothing but good that comes out of this, except for those of you, who contributed to contributed ideas for things which have ended up as our worst entertainment moments of the week. Yeah. But that's at the end of the show,
and prizes at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's right. So whether you contributed to something that was one of our best entertainment moments or our worst, you still win a prize. So that's very cool. Congratulations. Yes. In advance to all of you who don't know who you are.
Cool prizes, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think, Tony gets pretty much all of the credit for a lot of the stuff behind this show because this was his idea and also the way that we decided what prizes to give out, he came up with.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to let
it's
people
very nice.
Know. Yeah. Everything else related to the show is all me.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Don't forget, as always, if you are tuning in for the first time or in case you have a memory issue, that you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com. Please do. We love to hear your emails and get suggestions on things that you would like us to talk about.
Yeah,
on
and
our
just
normal
because
shows.
I'm sorry. Just because you know, this is the listener podcast doesn't mean that you can't suggest stuff and we won't include it in future podcasts.
Right, because we like doing that. It makes it more fun for us, too.
Yes.
And then also visit us on Facebook and become a fan of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast on Facebook. And for that, we will probably love you for the rest of our lives.
Wow.
And on iTunes, you can subscribe to the podcast there, of course, and leave us a review and a rating if you get around to it. We would really appreciate that as well. So let's get right into it. So for video games, what did you play? And we'll let you know for each thing that we talk about who the listener was or who the listeners were who suggested these things. So
yes. You know, we didn't get a lot in the way of video games. Most of our suggestions were TV or movies. But I did get a couple. People wanted to talk about iPhone games.
Right.
So I have a couple here.
All right.
First off, this is a free one. It's called Paper Toss. And you know what? It's actually pretty simplistic. The setting is an office, and what you're doing is you are shooting a wad of paper into a waste paper basket.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're just flicking it with your finger, and depending on the angle you flick it, you
So is it almost like playing an actual paper
yes.
game, like when you'd play those like paper football games and
but
stuff
it's
like
a,
that?
But it's a ball of paper.
Right, right. That's pretty cool.
It's actually very cool because there's a fan set up in the room, and
yeah.
it tells you the wind speed.
Okay.
And so you have to adjust for that when you're flicking the ball. And there's three different difficulties. You know,
right.
there's easy where the waste can is like right in front of you.
Okay.
And then there's hard where it's all the way across the office. And there's actually some humor in it. What's funny about it is like if you should completely miss a shot, you know, you hear this voice in the background. First of all, there's all this office noise in the background.
Right.
You hear this voice in the background goes, what are you doing? Are you even looking? Or, you know, I don't know if those are the exact words, but.
Right.
But it's,
like
it's actually very cool.
An office coworker.
You hear like
you.
Typing and you hear the sound of the fan. And actually, the graphics are pretty good. I mean, it's a total time waster.
Right.
You don't really achieve anything with it. But
right.
You know.
So there you go.
But a lot of fun. And that came from Scott. So thank you, Scott.
So there you go. Nicely done.
Next, we have Textropolis.
Okay.
Which is one of those games where they give you like a word. They're all seven-letter words. And you know what? I think there's seven. No, you know what? They're nine-letter words.
Okay.
And I should have done a little research on this, but very busy. And what you're doing here is just making words from the different words. But they actually have it set up where the word they give you is the name of a town or a city.
Okay.
Around the world. So one would be like Budapest.
Right. And then you have to make other words out of the letters that appear in Budapest.
Right. But what's amazing is they'll give you a word like Bethlehem, and it'll have, you know, you can make like, it'll tell you how many words are possible. And
right.
some of them, there's like 300 words possible, and I'll only
really?
Come up with like 60.
I got I got an, I got the.
But what's cool is on the screen, it shows like buildings being erected. The more words you create, the more your town is being built up, and it scores you by saying population. So the more words you make, the more
right.
people live in your world.
In your opolis.
Yes.
Nice.
So as you get more words, more cities open up.
Now, is the population actually made up of people, or is it made up of like little letters and
no,
stuff?
No, it shows little people walking
oh,
out.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
And, yeah, that's $1.99. And again, little time waster, you know.
Cool.
you do have to be somewhat smart.
Well, you have to know how to spell.
It's showing me that I'm not really.
You have to know how to spell, and you have to have a decent vocabulary.
But it's a fun little game, one I wouldn't have found on my own, and that came from Susan.
Nice. Very nice, Susan. Nicely done. Well, I'll start with an iPhone game, too. Listener Mike suggested that we recommend some iPhone games, and he wanted ones that were cheap or free because, as he put it, he's a cheap ass.
Very nice.
So there you go, Mike. So I was looking through a bunch of different free games on the iPhone, and you know what's nice is that there are so many light versions of games that there's really a lot to choose from,
right.
And a lot of the light versions of games actually have a fair amount of content in them. But the first game that I tried to look at was called Cube, which I had read a lot of good reviews on, and it's a first-person shooter, and you tilt the iPhone to move. And then there are a couple places on the screen where you can touch to shoot or, you know, do some other things. There's only, like, a couple of touch areas on the screen. It's shoot and I think switch weapon was the other one. But I really don't like the accelerometer controls when they're used for a game. Because there has to be, I mean, if you think about it, there has to be some baseline for what is not tilted.
Right.
So in most cases, that baseline is sticking straight up, which means you have to hold the phone in front of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or it thinks that it's tilted down and you start moving forward. So this one was a little bit different. It was like you could hold it at an angle and then, you know, you had to tilt it down further, but then you're not looking straight at the screen.
Right.
So I don't really like any of the iPhone games where you have to, you know, tilt to move.
Well, I will say that some games that move like that,
yeah,
they will have a calibration setting where you can decide where the
right, you can set the baseline. But the thing I still don't like about that is then you're changing the angle of
right.
the screen to
so
move you've around.
Got to
it's
move
like you
your
can't
head
really,
and,
yeah,
right.
you can't really like look at it then straight on.
And on the bus, it's very embarrassing.
It is because people just think you're like, you know, some kind of epileptic spaz or something like that. Or you got to screw loose, one of the two. But so I am not going to recommend that. Instead, I'm going to recommend a game called Critter Crunch Lite, which is, again, the light version of a full game, which is paid for, and I have no idea how much it costs. But it's kind of cool. It's like, it's kind of a cross between a lot of different types of games. It's a cross between, like, a Tetris and a Bejeweled kind of thing. You've got this little critter at the bottom of the screen, and then there are all these vines hanging down from the top of the screen, and there are other little critters on these vines. And the critters are different sizes and different colors, and different, like, if you... So your critter that you control at the bottom has a long tongue like a lizard or something. So what you do is you swipe up to grab one of the insects, and then you shoot it back up at a bigger insect, and that insect eats the smaller one.
Oh,
and then if you do that
cool.
twice, it blows up. And any other critters next to or touching that that are the same color and the same size also blow up. And so they keep, you know, every once in a while they keep advancing down the screen. So there's a time element too. You can't just, you know, dilly-dally around. And then, you know, it adds more complexity. There are other things that you can do as time goes on, and there are bonuses that you can get that then drop down, and you have to either get them with your tongue or just wait for them to come down. So it kind of adds to the tension a little bit. But I actually found myself having a lot of fun with it. It was a really cool little game, and again, a really good, you know, time waster game.
Very
so
cool.
I'm going to recommend that for our listener, Mike, Critter Crunch Lite on the iPhone.
And the full version is $1.99.
So there you
$1.99.
Go. $1.99.
Apparently, I'm having some puberty issues.
Yes. All right. Can we call you Peter Brady for the rest of the episode?
Please.
Okay.
And then better than calling me Jan.
That's true. Oh, my God. Especially, did you ever see her grandma? Ooh, she was hideous. Did you remember that episode where she was all upset because
right.
she was going to
grow up and
look like the crazy aunt?
Right.
Who was played by...
Imogene Coca.
There you go. Imogene Coca, who was, of course, the grandmother in...
actually, Aunt Edna.
Aunt Edna. And well, but... Was she an aunt?
No.
Wait. Oh, she wasn't one of their moms?
No.
Oh, okay. In Vacation. Sorry. Yeah. Got a little sidetracked there. And then the other game I want to talk about, which was a recommendation or a request, I should say, from listener Alex, was Warhammer Online. Now, I'm always kind of looking for a good MMO because I'm a huge Guild Wars fan. I had so much fun with that game, and I played it for a long time. And... every once in a while, I try a new one, and I'm usually really disappointed for a number of reasons. Like, for instance, I heard a lot of great things about Conan when that first came out, and so I played that for a while. I really didn't like it at all. One of the things that was great about Guild Wars, well, actually, there were a lot of things that were great about Guild Wars, but I'll tell you what some of them were. The graphics were not super detailed in terms of the 3D models and everything of the world. And as with a lot of MMOs, you know, even though you see buildings and stuff every once in a while, you can't really go into them. They're just like part of the landscape more than anything else. But the character art is absolutely gorgeous. It's probably the best I've seen in any game ever.
Wow.
And not only that, but the...
Does that mean big boobs?
Not necessarily.
Let's break it down.
not necessarily. No, but I mean the characters themselves are just gorgeous. Now, the women a lot more so than the men.
Right.
But in fact, a lot of the men are a little bit creepy looking. But they're supposed to be like tough and brutish or like creepy for some other reason. But the character animations are really amazing too. I think I've mentioned this before, but I have a friend who was actually here yesterday from visiting from the Seattle area. Who used to work for them, and she did a lot of the, she was one of their artists, and she did a lot of the character animations and stuff like that.
She had big boobs.
And you know what? I really don't know. And
so what?
She's married and has kids. I probably shouldn't talk about that anyway.
Excuse me.
But thanks for making it, the moment a little bit awkward there, Tony. But anyway, she told me that they didn't have... Like a lot of games have different engines for different things that they do in 3D a lot. Like a lot of games will have a cloth engine, so that if a character is wearing cloth, there's a specific set of code that handles that and makes it work appropriately. They didn't have anything like that in Guild Wars. So all of the cloth animations, like there are these characters in one of the sections of the game that wear these really long skirts, and they're all like flowing around them and everything. That was all done by hand. All that animation was like hand done and, you know, done frame by frame kind of thing. So there was just an insane amount of work, as in any game of that scale, that went into that. But the end result is fantastic. But so everything looks really nice. The environments are really cool. There's a lot of variety to the environments. Everything's very smooth. There's a lot of acceleration and deceleration on the camera movements and stuff. So when you're moving around, it's all very smooth and very clean. And it's really cool to just watch the game being played, whether you're playing it or just watching, because it's such a dynamic thing and it is very smooth. Things like the icons of your different spells and skills and everything, the artwork even for those is really cool. Like in a lot of games that I play that have that same kind of setup where you have a bar where you can put skills and spells, a lot of times I can't tell what they are. You know, it's like, it just looks like a blob or something. But these were very nicely designed. They all kind of tied in with what it was that you were doing. It was very clear what each one was. And you know, especially after you play the game for a while, you are able to easily read the interface. The interface is very nicely designed. It works really well at different resolutions. So a lot of great things about Guild Wars. So that's my benchmark. What?
That's a lot of setup to get to Warhammer.
I know. I'm just saying. So then you play a game like Conan, and Conan is very jerky and choppy. The artwork wasn't, I mean, you know, there was a lot of detail to the world, but like the characters were kind of goofy looking. And,
well, it's Conan O'Brien, right?
No, it's actually the Conan the Barbarian. But I just was kind of bored playing it. So I played it for a little while, then I gave it up. And then more recently, I tried the Lord of the Rings Online MMO, uh-huh. And same thing, totally bored. And, you know, it looked fine, but it wasn't knocking my socks off. And the interface was terrible. Like, I couldn't tell what anything was. Right. There were, like, healing spells and potions and stuff.
I have no idea what direction you're going.
Literally just looked like a blob on the screen, which I did not like. So then at Alex's recommendation, because he was wondering if, you know, maybe this was something he would enjoy, I started to play Warhammer Online, and I have to say I really like it.
Really?
It's really cool. The world has a lot of detail to it. The character art is pretty good. It's not as nice as Guild Wars, but it's pretty good. Doesn't have the smoothness of Guild Wars in terms of the like the camera movements and stuff. That's something I really miss that I think that game did great that I haven't seen in a lot of other stuff. But I think that overall the artwork is really nice. The interface is good. It's pretty easy to get into. But what's really cool that Warhammer does, that I think the company that makes it, Mythic Entertainment, I think they've done this in other games before, but I hadn't played those games. They have a thing. Not only do they have PvP, which is, you know, player versus player, and PvE, player versus environment, which is just you doing the normal quests and battling monsters and bad guys and stuff.
Right.
But they have a whole thing called realm versus realm. So you get to pick when you create your character whether it's a good or bad character, and in different parts of the map, that area of the map is controlled either by the forces of good or the forces of evil, like light or chaos, as they're referred to.
Right.
And so depending on what kind of character you are, if you like answer what's called a rally call and go to that area, then you're playing realm versus realm, and it's without going into a special mode or an arena battle, it's automatically PvP, and then your side can either lose control or take control of that area, and you get specific rewards based on that. And you don't, what's really cool about it too is there are these things that are called public quests where you can just go to an area of the map and there's a quest there that's designed for a group of people, but you don't have to go there with a group. You can like look on the map and it'll say, you know, designed for maybe 6 to 9 players and currently there are 5 there. So then you go there and you just join in the fight and you get to reap some of the rewards of that, you know, if you all finish the quest successfully. So it's really cool the way they kind of integrated the PvP and PvE aspects of it without making it a more formal thing where you have to join a party or you have to join a guild or you have to be playing with a bunch of other people. You can just kind of join into the action even as just a solo player and still get a lot of the same benefits of the multiplayer aspects of the game, which I think is really nicely done.
Now, is this free or subscription
based?
No,
it's not free. The game is like, you know, $40 or $50.
Oh, it's a retail game. And
then it's like $15 a month.
Okay.
So, and that's the other thing that was great about Guild Wars. There's no subscription. So once you buy the game, you play free forever.
Right. Do people still play Guild Wars?
Oh, yeah. It's I logged in the other day just to see what was new, and it was as crowded as ever.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working on Guild Wars 2 for a couple of years now. I don't know when it's coming out. It's, you know, going to be late next year at the earliest, I would imagine. But, you know, people are still playing. And they're still doing content for it. They did a lot of neat stuff where around the holidays they would do in-game holidays. And they wouldn't call them, you know, Christmas or whatever. But it was like, you know, Winter's Day Festival. But
there Festivus.
Yeah, exactly. But there were a lot of neat things that they do like that, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times a year that have special, you know, bonuses and special loot that you can grab and everything. And there's really a lot of great stuff about that game. In fact, if anybody listening likes MMOs and has never tried Guild Wars, I highly recommend it. One of the most fun games I've ever played.
Wow.
And definitely my favorite online game ever. But anyway, so thank you to Alex for that because I am enjoying it, and I'll probably keep playing it at least for a while. So until something better comes along. Okay, so do you want to go on to the next thing?
Sure. Well, under miscellaneous, Mike had asked us that we recommend some podcasts that we listen to. And so what I thought I would do is in each of the categories, I would recommend or not recommend a podcast. And
there
so as far as video games, I get most of my information from one particular podcast. It's the 1UP.com Listen Up podcast. And the reason I like this one is they take a little more seriously than some of the other podcasts, but without being, you know, I mean, sure, it's nerdy, but without being like overly nerdy.
Right. They're not
because
quoting
some of the others
calculator
I listen,
stats and stuff like that.
No. Well, sometimes they will get a little too into like sales numbers and that.
Okay.
But some of the others I've tried to listen to, like IGN or even Rebel FM has one. Sometimes they'll get a little moronic and then they'll talk about, you know, genitals and, you know.
Kind of like when I was talking about how the characters look really nice in Guild
Wars.
And
I kept talking about boobs.
Right.
Exactly.
So there you go.
But they take that kind of to,
to the extreme.
Level.
Yeah.
So this one is, I get a lot of information from it. In fact, a lot of information that I use here. And they work in the, like, game journalism, for
industry.
Lack of a better word, industry.
Okay.
Right. I mean, they all do.
Wow. That was quite
well,
the
insult.
Can
you really call
it?
Well, I mean, even they will say that they're not really journalists.
Right.
Right. But
they're slaves to their profession, like most of us.
Well, you know, they're like critics, and
yeah.
But that's one I really enjoy, and so you know, if you like podcasts and you like to know, you know, what's coming up in video games, it's highly informative.
Cool. So there you go. All right. Well, that is it for video games, and we will be back in a minute to talk about TV. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV in our listener appreciation episode. So what do you got up first?
First, we have Mad Men, which was suggested by Amy.
Okay.
And
not my wife, by the way.
No. No, our listener, Amy.
Okay.
Well, your wife is a listener as
she
well.
She is,
so
but a different Amy.
The listener, Amy, who is not your wife.
Amy E.
Yes.
Not Amy Z.
Yes. And I have to say, I love this show.
Yeah, I've heard it's very good.
Let me say, first of all, I got the first season. So I guess they're about to start the third season.
Okay.
And right now, the only thing available on DVD is the first season. Second season will be available on July 14th.
Okay.
And let me say, if you have a Blu-ray player and you think this is something you're interested in, go to Amazon. I got the first season for $24.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good deal for
and
a whole season.
On Blu-ray. Yeah. And what's weird is the Blu-rays were cheaper than the standard DVDs.
So that is a little weird.
Go figure.
But that's a good thing.
But
it's the way it should be.
I benefited, so, yeah. So I have no problem with
so
it.
And so can you, listeners.
So if you don't know anything about Mad Men, it takes place in 1960, and it's just about Mad Men were the advertising men of Madison Avenue.
Okay.
And kind of very, very like cutthroat. Very. Yeah. This is the era where people like smoked all the time and drank in their office and like.
Yeah.
And it's when you first start to watch it, it's a little unnerving just how different things were and how acceptable things were then that are not now.
Right.
For example, there's one scene where. First of all, women are treated as kind of like
second-class citizens
and objects,
right?
And so, sexual harassment is just running rampant, and it's just, you know, it's the norm, so no one says anything about it.
It's just the way people were brought up, and that's the way it was.
Mind. There's one episode where one of the secretaries goes to her gynecologist, and she's actually like up on the table, and he's talking to her while he's smoking.
That's awesome.
And you know. As it got started, it moves kind of slow, so it took me a little getting used to. In fact, the first few episodes are kind of just like character development.
Right.
But they're so good at it. I mean, once you get used to the pacing, they're so good at it that by the end of, you know, the first season, which was 13 episodes, you really feel you know these characters.
Yeah.
And what's either great or not great about it, depending on how you like to watch shows, there's really nothing, you know... There are things likable about these characters, but there are things equally as despicable about almost every one of these characters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you learn to like them for certain things and hate them for other things.
Right.
But it really plays into the story very well. And I have to say, once you get to episode, I mean, it takes a while. Once you get to like episode 10, there's so much story-wise that's going on that
right.
It's just amazing. Wow. But I just want to point out a couple of things I was talking about, how it makes you feel...
Yeah.
You know, there are some things that make you feel uncomfortable, but some things that are just downright... I mean, like, people could be offended by.
Right.
For example, one of the lighter things, there was a scene where two housewives are talking while their kids are playing in the other room, and they were playing, like, aliens from outer space. And so one of the kids comes in, and she's wearing over her head a dry cleaning bag. You know, one of the plastic bags.
Nice.
It's, like, over her head. I mean, now that would be, like...
Right, suffocation you know? Hazard
yeah.
in the extreme.
So the mother's response to that was, my dry cleaning better not be laying all over the room.
<That's>
so
awesome.
That, you know, that we could kind of chuckle at. But yeah. Then there's another scene that's like shocking when you see it. There's an office party and a couple of the guys, you know, the girls are kind of off on one end, the guys are off on the other end, and the guys are, you know, have a bet on what color one of the secretary's underwear is.
Yeah.
So the guy starts chasing around the office. He tackles her and pulls her skirt up to prove what color her underwear is.
And who won?
I don't know. At that point,
okay. What color was it?
It was blue.
Okay, so there you go.
But,
did anyone guess blue though?
I'm sure, but you're missing the point.
Well, the point is that she had on blue underwear.
I mean, nowadays, I mean,
how else are you going to find out? You can't just go up and ask a woman that.
No.
What was
funny about it was,
I mean,
you would think that the woman would be completely mortified by this, but because they're so used to being,
oh, Jack, you silly,
yeah, completely,
right.
But they're just so much, I mean, as far as a character piece alone,
yeah.
This is just so rich. I mean, what one of the most amazing things on TV.
Now, who airs that normally?
Independent Film Channel, I'm almost sure.
Really?
Yeah. Now, let me say, there's nothing, like, there's no, like, really harsh language. I mean, yeah, the themes are very adult, very adult. I mean, I certainly wouldn't recommend this for children.
Right.
There's no nudity. There's no... I mean, it's not like some of the shocking stuff you see like on Nip Tuck.
Right.
But
I think
I love
I'm actually upset a little bit that there's no nudity, especially because Christina Hendricks is one of the characters in this show. And I'd like to start watching it because I've heard it's really good. But I find her very sexy. She was in, she played a really funny character in a few episodes of Firefly.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen her. And then I think I saw her in something else where she was... either like a detective or somebody's sister or ex-wife or something. I forget what it was. Some other show that was on for like a couple weeks and that got canceled.
Well, I have to say, I mean, she's one of the best at totally capturing that era, and you totally buy that she's of that era.
Right.
That's the thing. This show is so consistent just with like the furniture and the... Let me say, the art style of this show is probably the best I've ever seen on a TV show.
Yeah.
And you must see it on Blu-ray because the quality is just, it's filmed, obviously.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, most obvious. And it's, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good stuff about it, and I'm looking forward to, you know,
cool.
following up with it. And
yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear somebody, because I've heard a lot of good things about it from a lot of people who I don't know, but, you know, it's nice to hear from
Well, let
you
me say, anyone who's watching it, and you included, it takes a few episodes to get used to the pacing and, yeah. and just kind of the way they, you know, speak and the way they speak to each other and just kind of yeah. the stuff I was saying that's like nowadays would be so taboo. And there it was just, you know. Yeah.
I don't really need to be schooled on, you know, letting myself get into something since I sat through the whole first season of Dollhouse. So I'm obviously willing to give something time, even when it never comes through. Although, you know, Dollhouse did here and there. But anyway. All right, cool. So I started to watch Burn Notice. I had watched the first season. It's on USA. And two listeners, Kim and Stritch, both recommended that I get back into it. And so I started watching it on Blu-ray, which was actually a gift for Father's Day from my wife, which was very nice. You know, it's a really fun show. If you haven't watched it, it's really... The thing that's cool about it is it's one of those shows that kind of mixes action and comedy, and the comedy is kind of dry and sometimes kind of silly, but the show still takes itself seriously. It's not something that's like goofy in the direction of Chuck and right. that kind of young sort of silly, very referential humor. It's not that kind of show at all. It's more like the main character, Mike Weston. He is, you know, he's a spy, and the whole concept of the show is that he's been given a burn notice, which means that he's been terminated as a spy, but he doesn't know why, and he doesn't know by who, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. All he knows is that he's been dumped in Miami, and he has to kind of stay there until he finds out what's going on. And so the whole first season was about him trying to find out who burned him so that he could figure out what the deal was.
Right.
So now I started watching the second season, and... The only clue is that he's been getting these phone calls from this woman who is telling him that he's got to do some stuff for her if he wants to find out any more about why he's been burned and dumped in Miami. So that's kind of where it starts off. But he's a very funny character because, like for instance, he's on the phone with this woman in the beginning of the first episode of the second season, and he's in a car in the back of a truck, and all of a sudden he hears all these explosions and gunfire, and he doesn't know what's going on because he's, you know, in a semi. You know, he can't see out. Right. And so then the phone rings, and it's this woman, and she says that there's a guy outside that he has to help finish some work that she hired him to do, and he had, like, skipped town. And so all these explosions or anything were her killing all the people around this other guy who had helped him, you know, kind of skip town.
Right.
And so he picks the guy up, and he shoves him in the trunk of his car, and he... out, you know, escapes the police who are now chasing them. And so they get to wherever they go, and he opens the trunk, and the guy is still bound and gagged, and the guy's like kind of putting up a fight and everything. And he's like, hey, I'm trying to help you here. He's like, you know, do you want to ever see your family again? And the guy's, you know, nodding yes. And he says, okay. He goes, well, I'm going to work on that for you. He said, but I need you to be good. Can you be good? And the guy nods his head. He's like, good, because if you're good, then you get to ride in the front. You know, and he's like very kind of sarcastic and, you know, demeaning to people. But he's also very funny, and he's flawed, as any good character is. You know, he can't get shot and just shrug it off. You know, even if he hurts his leg or something, he kind of walks around and complains about it for a while. And then one of his friends, who's like an ex-spy, is played by Bruce Campbell, and he's really hilarious because he just like says whatever he thinks and, you know, he kind of will play both sides of the fence in terms of helping him, but also informing on him when he has to not get himself in trouble. And then he's got this crazy ex-girlfriend who's played by, Gabrielle Anwar, which was really weird. In the pilot a couple years ago, she had an Irish accent.
And now it's just gone.
And it's gone. Even when the series first started, it was gone. And they made some comment about it once. He's like, what's with the accent? She's like, well, I'm just trying to blend in. But
That's cool that they addressed it.
Yeah, they addressed it. But I think it's just that her accent was so bad that they didn't think she could keep it right. up for the whole series. And then Sharon Gless plays his mother, and she's like the, you know, kind of, you know, chain smoking, always complaining about, oh, how come you never call your mother kind of thing. Uh-huh. But it's not as caricature-y as it could have been. And it actually works sometimes because, you know, she lives in the Miami area, so he has to like go and deal with her every once in a while.
Right.
So it's kind of cool how they tie all this stuff together.
Now, would you say there's a lot of like action and suspense?
There is. I mean, is there a lot of action and suspense. It's the kind of formula where, but see, you never saw the A-Team, so I can't compare it to that. But it's the kind of
what can you compare it to from this era, as far as like action and suspense go?
As far as the level of it or the type of it?
The level of it.
It's boy, that's tough. I mean, there's a lot more action and suspense than there would be on a show like Lost, for instance, which is often very, you know, slow because it's doing backstory and character stuff. But what it is that he will get hired by somebody to, you know, fix a problem. So this guy is having a problem with a loan shark and he has to go and, you know, help him out. And it's one of those shows that relies more on him outwitting the bad guys than just gunning everybody down.
Right.
There's definitely guns and usually the bad guys are shooting at him and his friends. But he tries to deal with his situations from the opposite way.
Right.
By, you know, either intimidation or outwitting them rather than actually just going around shooting people. And there is a little bit of that, but it's definitely downplayed, which is another thing that I like about it, because he's relying more on his, you know, brains than just guns,
right?
Which I think is really cool. But it's a really fun show, and I'm really glad that that Amy got me the Blu-ray of season two, you know, so that I can get
caught
up. Now
this is Amy, your wife, and not Amy, the listener.
That's correct. Okay. Even though they're both listeners, but anyway, so yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show, and I definitely recommend it to people. And then we also want to talk about True Blood.
Yes, which we both watched.
Yeah, and we both watched that, so that's cool. So there's been just two episodes so far, right?
Yes.
And when we left off last season, you know what? There's so much going on that you really can't, I think, give a synopsis.
No.
But I will say that season two has picked up pretty effortlessly from season one.
I will agree.
And it's, you know, it's already been a really good mix of the vampire mythology, the love interests, the comedy, the action, the there's, you know, an element of horror to it. There's a really creepy situation that starts off right at the beginning of the first episode of season two, where four people, including Lafayette, are chained to this device in somebody's basement, and they're all...
It kind of had a Saw element to it.
Yeah, it did. It was very Saw-like.
Yeah.
And very creepy, and for most of the first episode, you have no idea what's going on, why they're down there, but every once in a while, somebody's taken and then brought back, and then at the end of the episode, you realize that it's Eric's basement, the sheriff of Area 5 or whatever it is. There's a lot of cool stuff going on already. It's amazing to me how quickly this show brings in new storylines.
Well, I said that last week, too, about the thing I really appreciate about the show is how quickly they handle things.
Right. It doesn't drag out forever. I mean, obviously some stuff you have to.
Right.
You know, there are elements of the romance between Sookie and Bill, for instance, that are very dragged out. And I think that's okay because it's relationship stuff and a lot of times that's the way that stuff kind of happens. Some of the characters are really cool. Like Michelle Forbes plays this character, what's her name?
Ooh.
Crap.
I don't know offhand.
Okay. She plays this character that came in late in the first season, and she is some kind of mysterious creature. We don't really know what she is, but she is the one who took in Tara?
Yes.
After Tara was arrested. And she's obviously trying to get Tara and this other guy together. We don't know why.
Well, I think it has something to do. I think she wants to be with Sam, and, you know, Sam was formerly with Tara.
Right.
So I think it's a way to...
You think she wants to be with Sam? You think that's what
I
she wants?
I do. I do. I mean, I think they allude to that.
Okay, so what do you think she is? Do you think she's a god?
Well, she's a shapeshifter of some sort.
Do you think she's a god?
Kind of. You know, I was going to say that just because of the whole...
The statue?
And the thing about Pan taking the human lover and...
Right. Because what did she say? Did she say the statue was a statue of Pan?
Well, there was the painting behind the pool.
But you remember what I'm talking about when they showed the flashback of Sam when he was a teenager and he broke into her house and he found the statue and she explained what the statue was. And then later when they were having sex, she was in the same pose as that statue.
Yeah.
So, but I couldn't remember what she said and I didn't, you know, go back and listen to it.
Right.
Again.
Well, then when Tara and the other guy, I don't remember his name, are sitting up by the pool, there's that painting behind the pool and she said that's the god Pan who's taken a human lover.
Right.
And that's when she said that, you know, nowadays the gods are so, you know, so far removed, whereas back then people had a closer
connection with them.
Just
a quick aside about that dude, whatever his name is. He has the most freakishly action figure physique I've ever seen on a human being. He's got this teeny tiny little waist, like this ridiculously ripped six pack, and then this ginormous chest.
Yeah.
He was like really strange when they, because there was a scene where they were by a pool and, you know, he had his shirt off. It was weird. I mean, he wasn't just like built.
Right.
He was like had a very strange physique. It was really bizarre. But anyway,
I will say, getting back to the Lafayette thing, I mean, it's been all over that. You know, these are based on books.
Right.
And in the book, the first book, apparently Lafayette dies.
Okay.
But there has been just so much, so many people loved Lafayette's character.
Yeah.
That they changed his storyline so that he wouldn't die.
And you know what's great about that is he... There's a scene in the second episode where he talks about how he's a survivor first and everything else after that.
Right.
And I think it's really cool that he was completely willing to like flip flop even on his best friend,
right?
You know, and rat out his best friend to stay alive. Now we don't actually know what's going to happen to him, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the second episode, it looked like he very well may be dead.
I'm sure he's not.
You think he's not?
I'm sure he's not. I mean, they wouldn't keep him alive just for two more episodes and then kill him then.
Why not?
Well, just because people like him.
Yeah. And then, okay, so let's talk about another aspect of it. Sookie's brother, Jason, who, by the way, I can't remember the actor's name, just so brilliant as this character.
Yeah. Especially when you see him in an interview, how he really is.
Yeah.
He's nothing like... Well, he's Australian, first of all.
Yeah, so. I've never seen him in outside of the show.
He's just very well-spoken, very, you know, he's got the Australian accent, and just his mannerisms are completely different, so...
I mean, the guy plays... Because Jason's, like, you know, nice-looking guy, but a complete moron.
Yeah.
But he plays his character so well because it's not just, like, you know, stupid... It's stupid with this
heart.
Childlike wonder about everything that is just such a great combination. Really, really great. But anyway, he's been kind of swept up by this religious movement, what's it called? The Children of the Sun or something like that. I don't know what it is.
Should have been more prepared.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But it's run by this couple that are, you know, very religious and they want to see the end of the vampires. Here's my thing, though. I don't think they're human.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think they're another type of something, and that's why they want the vampires
dead.
That's
a good point, because I really get, you know, they keep doing all this physical stuff with them. I get that they're trying to groom him to be some kind of maybe vampire hunter.
Or something, but I think they're something else. I don't think they're actually human.
I never thought of that. That's good.
And I also think that the wife is going to try to seduce Jason, because I think she was really turned
on. Their characters are so creepy.
They're so creepy. They're so... you know, Stepford. But
and that whole televangelist.
Yeah. But I think she was like really turned on by him when he broke the flagpole and was going to ram the stake through her heart. And so I think there's going to be a little nookie nookie going on there.
There you go,
to
Mike.
That effect. So we'll see what happens with that. But so far, I mean, fantastic first two episodes of the season.
I agree.
Really, really good. I still, you know, Sookie still annoys me. She's so wishy washy. By the way, I do like the new character, Daphne, the waitress at the restaurant. She's really funny. Really funny. And there was a great scene when, what's the Jessica? Is that the vampire that Bill turned, the teenage girl? It was a great scene when Sookie told her she would take her to drive by her family. And she's like, oh, Sookie, thank you so much. She's like, oh, don't mention it to Bill, ever. That was like a great line. There's
the
some
writing
really funny
on that
stuff.
Is great.
Yeah, the writing is good. So that's great. That's a great show. And if you don't watch that and you like vampire stuff and you don't mind, there's a lot of, you know, it's a very adult show.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not suitable for kids. There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of swearing. A lot of
violence.
You know, a lot of violence and like some really hideous gore.
Yeah.
So if you're not up for that, then don't watch it. But it's a great show. Okay, so another thing that our listener, Mike, mentioned that he wanted us to talk about, and this goes for everything that we talk about on here, is guilty pleasures. So do you want to...
You know, I tried to think of... I mean, obviously, we've talked about reality shows, and, you know, I'm drawn by some of it. But some things that I like to watch a lot of, and I don't know that, you know, maybe... I don't know my fascination with them, but, you know, we don't really talk to them. Except, you know, when we talk about Top Chef. But I watch a lot of cooking shows.
Okay.
And Food Network is on in my house constantly.
Really?
Whether it's one of the Food Network challenges where,
right.
you know, they have to, like, build cakes. Or even Ace of Cakes, which I know you like as well.
That's a good show.
But even, like, if someone's just cooking something, whether it be Giada or... I like the healthy one with Ellie Krieger. Or even Paula Deen.
Yeah.
Although that one makes me feel a little dirty.
Why?
She uses butter and fat in absolutely everything.
So that can be your guilty pleasure right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I'll just sit and watch them for like hours and not ever like act on it. I'll never go, oh, you know what? I want to make that.
Right. Right.
I mean, I do like to cook, but never really based on what I'm seeing.
Yeah. We've decided that we're going to take cooking classes somewhere because neither of us is a very good cook. And, you know, I can make a few things really well. She can make a few things really well.
Uh-huh.
But I don't understand it enough to be able to just say, you know what? I want to make something that's kind of like this.
I agree. And I do think watching these shows, you get a little of that.
Right.
One thing I'll find, though, I mean, they'll make something and they'll make it look so easy. And then I'll go back and try to make, not the same thing, but I would try to make something. And it takes you eight hours and it's stressful. I struggle with it. Whereas, you know,
right.
Granted, a lot of that's edited for time. But.
Sure. But it's obvious that people who are good cooks or good chefs, they get food
in a
way that an artist gets color or a photographer gets. Yeah, right.
Sure.
Exactly. So it's like I don't think that I have that because I think that if I did, it would be a little less scary to me.
But I think that's something that could, I mean, maybe not the instinctual process,
sure.
But I think a lot of that can be learned.
Yeah, well, because I don't know the techniques. And I think once you understand the techniques and once you understand the sort of basics about how, you know, certain things go together to make it something that tastes good, then I think it's probably a lot easier. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm hoping I'm going to be able to learn.
Right.
But
in that vein, another thing I like, I watch a lot of, I don't know why, I watch a lot of the like home repair and home design and like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the HGTV stuff where like, there's this one show that they show on the weekends where, and I really like it. I'm fascinated by it. Every weekend, every Sunday I watch it, where someone will sell their house. And so like, the new people will buy the house and redo it. So they take the old people back into the house
to
for them to comment
on the
changes they've made to their former house.
Right.
I love it.
That's kind of cool. Now, are the people who have sold the house and come back, are they usually amazed or are they usually like,
no, I would say nine times out of 10, they're upset. I mean, think about it. It was their home for years.
Right.
And then someone came in and completely changed it. So nine times out of 10, they have, you know, criticisms. But what's funny about that is, It can become snide and almost become a little catty, and like some of the comments they'll make, like, you know, calling each other white trash or
right.
like country or
yeah. God, that's pleasant. You know, I have to say, in general, I kind of don't believe in the idea of guilty pleasures. I don't think that if you like something that you should
feel guilty about it.
I don't think you should feel that you need to apologize for liking it. And I'll talk more about this in movies, because there are definitely some things that I can talk about that I like in movies that I think people would consider to be guilty pleasures. With TV, unfortunately, I just don't have enough time to watch anything other than the stuff I'm really into, most of which is pretty mainstream.
Right.
To really
have any sci-fi stuff.
Well, I think most of that's pretty mainstream. I mean, Lost is sci-fi. That's very
mainstream. Yeah, I'm talking more about the like
Battlestar Galactica and stuff.
Well,
like that.
Even further out than
like
that.
Stargate.
Right.
And kind of stuff. I love the Stargate shows. And I mean, I guess you could consider that a guilty pleasure. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I think that for, you know, kind of the way that I watch stuff is I try to watch stuff for what it's supposed to be rather than for what it could be or compared to something else. Now, obviously, you can't get away from drawing comparisons between stuff.
Right.
Because you're just, you know, you're going to see something that's going to remind you of something else.
Right.
Like, I don't know about when we first saw The Matrix together. I remember thinking that when Morpheus was first explaining what the present was really all about to Neo, thinking that, like, oh, God, they, like, totally stole this from the Terminator. You know, because it was all about the machines, like, getting wise and then, you know, enslaving humanity. So it's like you can't really get away from that, even if you really like both of the things. But you know, Stargate is a very particular kind of show because there is a very campy element to it. Not really the humor in it falls somewhere between like Star Trek: The Next Generation and Chuck. You know, obviously it's not as referential as something like Chuck, although there are pop culture references that are made funny by the fact that one of the team members on Stargate is an alien.
Right.
You know, from another world. So, you know, he's never seen anything on earth. He's never seen TV or anything like that. So like every once in a while, he'll make a joke about like he'll make a reference to Oprah or something, and it's done very seriously. But then it ends up being funny because here's an alien making a joke about Oprah. Right. So there's a campy element to it there. But I loved that show. I thought SG-1 was a lot of fun. You know, throughout its entire run, it was on for like 10 seasons or something like that. And it was really a lot of fun. And then the spinoff, Atlantis, was great too. Really looking forward to the last season coming out on DVD. I don't know if it's coming out on Blu-ray too, but it's coming out, I think, right at the beginning of July. So that'll be pretty cool. We'll finally get to see the last season. And then, you know, of course, they've got a third series, a second spinoff coming out now called Stargate Universe. That is the, you know, basically... sexy teen version of Stargate,
right?
That they actually
made. Stargate 90210,
right? That they actually made fun of in an episode like three or four seasons ago. Actually, right. Even more than that, which is kind of funny. But so I guess if you want to talk about a guilty pleasure, I guess that could be it. But again, I don't feel guilty about it. So, yeah. What do you think about that?
I agree.
So there you go. All right, cool. And then another recommendation that was made was to talk about shows that are not on anymore that we miss.
Oh, that we do miss.
Right. That we do... Wait.
Your notes say that we don't
miss. Yeah, I don't know. No, it's supposed to be that we do miss.
I don't know. I guess I'm able to just... You know, usually when a show ends, you know... unless it's just abruptly canceled... But you pretty much know that it's going to end. So I think I kind of make my peace with that. And like, I can't think of any shows that are not on anymore that I'm like, oh, I wish that show was still on.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times what happens is, like you said, they kind of fizzle out.
Right.
So either you...
I mean, there's a reason they're not on anymore.
Either you lose interest or something happens that's so definitive that there was no reason for it to continue. Like, I was going to make a reference, but I was forbidden in the listener request from making a reference to the show, so I can't make it.
Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah. Well, you know, it had a specific run, and then that was it. It was done.
Right. And I think that'll be that way with Lost. I mean, I love Lost, but Lost has, you know...
Yeah.
It's going to end.
I was
going to
say X-Files, but it was so bad at the end that I didn't care.
Right.
I had stopped watching it. I don't know.
Which is the reason why I wasn't on anymore.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of shows that... that I miss that are like that. You know, I will tell you, not a specific show, but a type of show that I miss. I miss the like Love Boat Fantasy Island style show.
Where they bring on different guests every week?
Where they bring on different guests every week, uh-huh. And it's kind of like you're following three or four little stories. There was something that was on recently, actually, that was like that. What the hell was it?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I think we might have actually talked about it once before on the show, and now I'm totally blanking on what it was. But there was something, some other show that
I don't
was
know,
like,
but I agree. I like those as well.
I like those kind of formats. It's kind of cool because, you know, you've got the central characters who you get attached to.
Right.
And then even though it's usually, there's so much levity to these shows that you're not that attached to them.
Right.
But you know them and you know their kind of interactions
there's
with each other.
Recognizable.
And then there's these guest stars who... are either kind of big stars or used to be big stars or may someday be big stars. And there's like random people walking in the office. And then they come and go and you follow their little stories just for that one episode. And I really like that format. I think it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot that you
can
do with it.
We don't see more of that.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. Las Vegas was like that.
Oh, I never really watched
But then
that.
Las Vegas got too crazy with the whole, you know, like crime fighting aspect and some of the other stuff that it was just weird. And plus once James Caan was gone, I didn't really care anymore. Actually, the first season of that show was fantastic. So that's what I'll say. I wish that Las Vegas was still on like it was in the first season of that show. But I think we need more shows like that.
I agree.
I'd like to see that kind of format make a comeback. I think it could be a lot of fun. And you know what the hell? Put it on a cruise ship. Put it on a cruise ship in space. You know what? Make it really crazy. What about you?
No, like I said, I mean, once a show's ending, I think it's usually ending for a reason.
Yeah.
And I make my peace with that.
Yeah. You know, it was another good show like that I'm surprised that nobody's done in a more contemporary vein was Love American Style. I mean, I'm going back.
You are going way back.
Way back. I don't even know if that show was current when I was alive. I might have even been before I was born.
I think it was like
born.
Early 70s.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought, I didn't know if it was like mid 60s or early 70s. But that was like one of the strangest formats for a half right. hour comedy ever.
Well, because you didn't have characters that were on there every week.
No,
did
there
you?
Was no central characters.
Right.
It was just like three or four little vignettes.
And all just having to do with love and relationships.
Right.
And so there wasn't even a central, like,
it was almost like skits, but they jump back and forth between
right,
them. You
right.
know, they'd show a few minutes of this relationship, a few minutes of this one, a few minutes of this one, and then by the end of the episode, you know, they
there's
had all
resolved
right. somehow. But, you know, the show was only like, I think
yeah,
it was only
a half
hour show.
Yeah, I think that would work today. I'm surprised they don't do more stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially now, you know, there's so many things about society in general now because of the internet, the fact that the world is a much smaller place, you know. People are exposed to so much more outside their own little bubble of life
right.
that there are a lot of great interactions you could do between people from different countries, different cultures, which are all things that are actually happening more and more
right.
in different, you know, societies, you know, in this day and age. So I think that would be another, you know, cool show. So, you know, when these things start showing up, remember that it came from us.
Yep.
You heard it here first, people. Do you have any TV podcasts that you
want
to...
You know what? I don't. And here's the reason. You know, TV podcasts, I mean, there's like a dozen podcasts on Lost, or there's a few on Chuck.
Yeah.
And I find that when I listen to them, they almost... they tend to take themselves too seriously.
I totally agree.
And like, really, how
I've
much...
I've tried to listen to some of them, and I just can't get into
them. How much can you really... Even Lost, I mean, which has, you know, its own mythos
right.
and all that.
That's very
how much
deep.
Can you really dig into it and pick apart? I mean, almost to the point where, like, you know, some of that I want to be able to interpret myself.
Right.
And so I don't want to listen to two morons. I mean, I'll say if they're funny or if they're entertaining, maybe then I'll get something out of it. But a lot of times they're not. I listened to probably about four or five of those Lost podcasts, and they're boring.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they analyze every little aspect.
Yeah.
Where it takes the fun out of the show for me.
I remember one time, this didn't have to do with a podcast, but one time I was looking up something having to do with Lost. And I mean, there was some dude that wrote like literally a 40-page document.
You pointed that out to me.
About this one theory that he had about something. It was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
And, you know, I would love for the people who make that show to just go, actually, we just put that in there because we thought it looked cool.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because I think a lot of times that's what it is. I think a lot of this stuff is accidental because it's in our psyches.
Right.
And you have an image in your head of something. And so you do something that conforms to that vision, even if you didn't mean for it to specifically have to do with that.
Right.
And that's fine for people to get out of it whatever they get out of it. But, man, somebody's got a lot of free time.
Right. I agree.
That's
I
crazy
agree. And
talk.
That's why I never really got into any of the TV podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's it for TV then. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies.
In a very creepy way.
Where's our ex... co-worker used to say, the motion theater industry.
Yes.
So what do you got up first?
First, let's start with Twilight.
Okay.
And this was an actual suggestion.
From
Smith.
Okay.
Twilight, of course, is that...
I'm sorry again. Is Smith the person's first or last name?
It is now her first name.
What do you mean it is now her first name?
Well, it was her last name, but then she got married, and so she made a name her first name. I'm sure she loves that we're going over this.
Okay. I'm just curious. That's pretty cool.
That is her first name.
That's
it is
pretty cool.
Cool.
What was her first name before?
Sarah.
Oh, well, now everyone knows who it is. All right.
She won't answer to it, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because of Sarah Palin?
No. No, but that would make
she's
sense.
She's just embarrassed.
So, Smith, this one's for you. Twilight.
Okay. Yes.
This was an actual suggestion.
I'm just going to go out on a big, huge limb here from the way you're introing this suggestion that you didn't like it.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I thought I would hate it. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
Let me say, obviously, we are not the demographic for this movie. I mean, this movie, for anyone who doesn't know, I mean, which I'd be surprised.
Sexy teen vampires,
right? Is based on books for teenage girls.
Vampires, 90210.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would
Although,
be.
Although, what is the zip code in Transylvania?
Well, this actually takes place in Washington?
State or D.C.?
State.
Okay.
I think it's Washington.
All right. The vampires. Vampires all work for Microsoft or something.
But I mean, my issue with the movie, I mean, I have to say, the first half of the movie, I liked. I mean, I didn't hate. It just had that. I mean, the dialogue was so written for teenage girls,
right?
And for brooding teenage girls,
right?
That after a while, I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, kind of drop. Can't we just have normal conversation here?
You know, and it's hilarious, too, because every time I would see anything from the movie, whether it was, like, the poster or screenshots, it's like, all right, whoever did the casting for this obviously only wanted people who always look like they're half asleep. They all have that, like, heavy-lidded kind of, like, for lack of a better word, kind of dopey look to them. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And not that they're not nice-looking people, but they all have those same kind of eyes.
Right.
Where they're...
Well, actually, you'll find after watching this movie... Well, first of all, it's shot in that kind of monotone thing where everything's very, like, bluish-gray.
Did you feel like you were watching, like, dialogue-wise, like the vampire version of Gilmore Girls?
I don't know that I've ever watched Gilmore Girls, but
I
could see.
You know, you've heard people make fun of it, right? For the way, the style of it, yeah.
Right, but this takes itself way more seriously.
Oh, okay. But
like I said, I didn't hate it. I just, there was this whole thing. I mean, it's a love story for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
This girl falls in love with a vampire, and he equally is drawn to her.
Sure.
But his connection to her is much more like carnal.
Yeah.
Like.
Sure.
But he's drawn to her because he's attracted to her blood. Like, he can smell her when she comes in the room.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. But, I mean, obviously he doesn't want to hurt her.
Maybe she should take a shower or something once in a while.
But I mean, so a lot of that I kind of like. But then it became, like two-thirds into it, it became this, like, action movie that it just got ridiculous. Got ridiculous. Because one of the others, I mean, she's equally as appealing to the other vampires as well.
Sure, because they can all smell her when she walks into the room.
Exactly. And so one of the others,
a mile away, that girl
wants her.
Yeah.
And so it's all about protecting her and, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Did she have, like, super blood or something? Why was she so.
Apparently. I don't know.
Oh, she actually did have, like, super blood?
Something about her blood. Yeah, I don't know.
It was high line.
But I have to say, the acting wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it just for what they had to do.
Sure.
It was okay.
Sure.
I really thought I was going to hate the main guy, the guy who plays Edward, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
I didn't hate him.
Yeah. What did I just read about him that he just got cast in? Something else big.
The next Twilight movie?
No. Something non-Twilight. Oh. I can't remember now.
I will say one thing I kind of liked about it, to the point where I did a little research on it. Some of the music was pretty good in it. And there was one song in it that I really liked, so I researched.
Soundtrack or score?
Soundtrack.
Okay.
So I did some research to find out what the song was and who sang it, and it actually was the guy in the movie, Robert Pattinson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the way, this is completely unrelated to Twilight or movies or anything, but just because you said this. I did those BlackBerry commercials last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious as to who did the music for the commercial. And so I looked it up and I found the name of the band. I don't remember what it was offhand. So I went to their MySpace page and saw their blog post from the time that the commercials came out. And they're like, hey, our BlackBerry commercial's out and they used our song. You know, and so there were all these comments from fans of theirs. And this one girl wrote, that's so cool that they use your music on this BlackBerry commercial. They're like, the voiceover guy's kind of annoying, but we're so glad your music is in there.
I'm like, really?
I thought that was really funny. But
you should put that on your on the cover of your demo disc.
Yeah, I don't think that would help me at all. But okay, cool.
Yeah, that's all I have to say
now. Well, you know, I want to apologize to. Well, you know what? Do talk about your other one first.
Okay, my other was came from Mike.
Okay,
and it's Lars and the Real Girl.
Okay,
and I think my problem with this movie is that I went into it expecting something completely different.
Okay.
Okay, this is a movie about a guy who...
It's an American film?
Yes.
Okay.
Who has a relationship with one of these real girl dolls. It's kind of... I think they're meant for, like, sexual purposes, but it's, you know...
Okay.
It's anatomically correct and made to look as...
Oh, boy.
...human as possible.
What was her name?
Oh, my God, what was her name?
The doll's name, I mean.
I want to... Bianca.
Bianca,
Bianca
sure.
was her name.
So then some fairy dust spills on her and she becomes real?
No.
Oh.
No, but, you know, just given the premise, you would expect it to be a comedy.
I would certainly
and
hope
it
so.
Wasn't.
Oh, boy.
No. So I think just I was expecting something different, so my whole attitude about it was different. what it was.
You were hoping for a remake of Mannequin, weren't you?
Exactly. There was no Andrew McCarthy.
What?
But I will say, Ryan Gosling stars.
Take a shower, Chad. You look like Shat.
There was Ryan Gosling stars as Lars.
Okay.
And I have to say, his acting in this movie is amazing.
I'm not a huge fan of his. He gives me the creeps, that guy.
You'd be impressed with him by this, but he would probably still creep you out.
I have to say, I do think he's a fine actor, but it's because he usually plays creepy guys that the guy gives me the creeps. So, you know.
Well, that's the case here. This guy
Ryan Gosling is, for the creepy
through
factor.
All that's gone on in his family and his history, has become delusional. And so he doesn't believe that this woman isn't real. So the whole movie is about how, because he thinks that this woman is real, and everyone in the town, he lives in a small town, everyone in the town really likes him, they all treat her as if she's real. To the point where, like, they take her out.
So apparently fairy dust fell on the whole town.
Exactly.
Made them all cuckoo heads.
And, but what's crazy is he invents these conversations with her in her head.
Oh,
and so
that's the crazy part? Not him having a relationship with a doll?
But, you know, it's done very tastefully.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, let me say, I never got the feeling that he ever tried anything sexually with her. And because he wanted her to stay wholesome, and he said because she, you know, is very old-fashioned, that she would stay with his brother and sister-in-law.
Okay.
So, like, she wouldn't, they only once did they spend the night together.
Right.
And
so now at the end, was there a big, like, M. Night Shyamalan twist where you find out that she's real and he's the doll?
No, but I like that. Yeah, I probably would have liked that a little
better.
That'd
be cool. We'll save that for our Mannequin 2 treatment.
I'm not going to say how the movie ends for anyone that wants to see, because really, it's very well done.
I'll tell you how it ends. Her batteries run out.
No batteries. No, it'd be nice if she had batteries. She would move a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just couldn't. I couldn't get attached to it.
Yeah.
I don't mean any pun. <Dude. laughs>
Thank you, Skitch. All right. Well, you know, and then I want to apologize to Mike because he had also recommended another movie called
Dear Frankie,
which I was going to watch, and I just ran out of time and couldn't. It's not like I can go to Best Buy and get it. They didn't have it. I'm sure I could have gotten it from Netflix, but I didn't have time. And plus, I couldn't find our Netflix movies to send them back to get something off our queue anyway. So they're somewhere in the family room. I just can't find them.
So instead you'll be talking about Ernest Goes to Jail.
Yes,
the movie
exactly.
You did have from Netflix.
That's right. The one that we still had. I don't know why we got three copies of it. That's so dumb. So dumb. But no, so I have a couple things to talk about. First, from listener Stritch, was Transformers, which I went with my friend Mike to see at a midnight show on Wednesday night, Tuesday night, because it opened officially on Wednesday, yesterday. So let me just give you a little setup. We had planned to meet at the theater by where I live at about between 11:50 and 11:30. So he calls me at 10 after 11. He's like, hey, dude, I'm here. You got to get over here. It's crowded. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. So I get in the car. I'm only 4 minutes from the theater. So I get in the car. I drive over there. The parking lot is packed. They had it on 6 screens. Every seat was sold out. In fact, it was so sold out by the time I got there at 11:15 that they wouldn't sell me a ticket. And then the manager saw that I you know, was there with somebody who was already inside.
He saw you crying.
No, yeah, he saw me crying, weeping like a little schoolgirl. And he said to the guy behind the counter, he's like, just sell him a ticket. Because, you know, Tony and I both used to work for movie theater companies. And, you know, we both used to work in the motion theater industry. And, you know, there's kind of two levels of sold out. There's, like, the first level of sold out, which is like
leaving 30 seats.
Right, leaving 30 seats so that everyone can sit together and not have to sit next to some creepy person.
Right.
And then there's actually sold out. So they were at the first level of sold out. So he, you know, had him sell me a ticket. But then, I mean, they had like security guards in the theaters like checking your tickets. And then we had tickets for different theaters, so they almost didn't let us in either one.
Oh, really?
It was kind of a pain, but Century Theaters, by the way, Deer Park, Illinois. So finally they let us sit in the same theater, and we had to go like all the way up to the back, and we're all the way on one side, which kind of sucked. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest disappointments right off the bat was that there were no great new previews. There was nothing before Transformers that I hadn't already seen, which was really disappointing. Because I'm pretty sure that when the first Transformers came out, the big preview that we had never seen before was for Cloverfield.
Uh-huh.
And that was really cool because you didn't know what the hell it was all about. So that was kind of a drag. And so then the movie itself, you know, pretty much what you'd expect. It was a lot like the first one. You know, this is, again, going back to what I was saying a little earlier. You have to kind of watch it for what it is if you expect to be able to enjoy it at all. It's a movie, a huge budget special effects movie based on a kid's cartoon and line of toys.
Right.
So you really have to keep that in mind.
Well, a kid's cartoon based on toys. The toys came first, didn't they?
You know, I actually don't know the answer, but I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. But we can look that up and talk about it in some other show if we remember. But yeah, and from the 80s, right? So you really have to keep that in mind because there's a lot of very juvenile stuff in there. Like there are these two robots that are supposed to be like, you know, brothers from the hood. And they've got like buck teeth and they're going around going, yo, man, we should get some ice cream. No, we don't have time for ice cream. I'm going to kick your ass. No, I'm going to kick your ass. You know, it's
really?
Like.
Really? That's the actual dialogue?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know, not word for word, but it was stuff like that.
Wow.
Whenever you would see these two characters. And, you know, one of the bad things about those characters was I don't even remember their names. I don't know if they ever said them, if I just didn't hear it, whatever. So, you know.
Were they cars?
Yeah, they were cars. You know, it's all Chevy stuff. Uh-huh. So they were, and GM. So they were, Chevy's got these two new little, they're really weird. It's like if you took a like subcompact car and made it a crossover.
Okay.
Or a mini SUV. It's like that. So they're like these, like almost like micro trucks.
Okay.
They're actually kind of cool looking. And I can't remember what they're called because they had, like, GM has shown like 5 or 6 different versions of them.
Right.
So I can't remember what they're called. But
and they got their own troubles.
They do have their own troubles, as we know. So there's those. And of course, Optimus Prime is back and Bumblebee is still there. And he's still like Sam's, you know, guardian best friend in the world of space alien robots. And then, of course, Megan Fox, who does all sorts of, like, bending over stuff throughout right. the movie.
And she's scantily clad, I'm sure, through the whole thing.
Not super scantily. She's not very scantily clad. But there was another hottie in the movie.
Yeah.
There was a second hottie. And, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, Sam might or might not run into this hottie when he goes away to college and his girlfriend is back at home.
So is there a hottie cat fight?
Well, I don't really want to give away too much. But let's just say there's, you know, for the young men who are going for a little, you know, testosterone-y fix, you'll get it. Let's just say that, okay? The robot fighting action was phenomenal. If you like that stuff in the first movie, it was way better even in this movie. And there was some really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some really cool stuff. And I have to say, some of the actual mythology of the Transformers and their story and the backstory that's introduced in this is actually pretty cool. Like for me, and my neighbor Encore said this yesterday, whenever you mix science fiction with anything having to do with the pyramids, it's always pretty cool. You know, that's one of the reasons the original Stargate movie was really cool. But there were some really neat stuff in terms of the Transformers mythology, but it's just so much of the dialogue was just absolutely dreadful. John Turturro was in it again. Fortunately, he was a lot less annoying than he was in the first one. But still, just a goofy character. But, you know, if you're going to it to see it for what it is, you're going to have a lot of fun.
So you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed a lot of it.
Did you enjoy it as much as you enjoyed the first one?
I think it was, you know, in a different way. You know, I had never seen the cartoon. I never had any of the toys as a kid. So I had no...
Well, that was after we were older.
So I had no exposure to Transformers at all, other than that I knew they existed. Right. And so in the first movie, what I liked about it was that discovery aspect of it. You know, watching the movie sort of through Sam's eyes and being the person who discovered them. That whole concept to me is really appealing. You know, that's part of what made E.T. so great. You know, the movies like that where the central character discovers something that's really, you know, phenomenal.
Right.
That's a really cool thing. So that's really what I liked about the first movie more than anything else. In this one, it was a lot more mindless and just action. Action, action, but the action was really good, and some of it was very clever, so I kind of enjoyed it for that aspect. But, I mean, my friend Mike and I, who I went to see this with, not Mike the listener, by the way, you know, there were a number of times when we just looked at each other while the movie's playing and just, like, rolled our eyes, like, I cannot believe that somebody just said right. that. You know,
That's how I felt about the first one. I hated the first one.
Yeah. Well, see, I hated John Turturro's character. I really wish he hadn't been in the first movie. I thought he basically ruined that film. But I actually didn't mind some of the kids stuff, like when the robots were playing around outside of Sam's house and the one was like, you know, the parents are annoying. Can we kill them? You know, that kind of stuff. I thought that stuff was kind of funny from a kid standpoint. But yeah. The other thing is, I don't think these movies are really appropriate for kids. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
You know, and there's too much like sexy stuff between Sam and what's her name?
Right.
I can't remember her name. Michaela is her character's name.
I remember anyway. Right after seeing the first one, I was so disappointed by it that I had bumped into, well, I mean, not literally, but I had come in contact with Richard Roper.
Okay.
Who had given it like an excellent review. And he said to him, like, dude, you owe me like $8 for Transformers. And he's like, well, I wrote in my review it was for 13-year-old guys. I'm like, I just saw your review. I mean, I just saw the score you gave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, it should have said in parentheses for 13-year-old boys.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, 15 to 20-year-old.
Really? You think an 18-year-old is really going to enjoy it?
Yes, because the two 18-year-olds who were next to us were drooling during the entire film. Just because of Megan.
Oh, because of the girls.
Because of Megan Fox and the other one. And then there's fighting robots. So what's wrong with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guarantee you that if we had seen this movie as 18-year-olds, we would have liked it more than seeing it as adults. But I appreciate it for the, you know, the robot fighting part.
Right.
And some of the mythology stuff. You know, though, I will say that I think it's amazing what they did in these movies with the complexity of the robots. And, you know, like when you actually get to see them transform slowly, I think that's really cool. And there's a lot of dynamicness to that that I think is really neat. But I almost think they're a little bit too complex. Like sometimes it's like you can't tell during the middle of a fight, you almost sometimes can't tell who's who.
Right.
And what's going on? It's like, wait, which one is that? Am I sad that guy just got sliced in half?
Right.
Oh, no, that was a bad guy. That's okay. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like sensory overload.
It is a little bit. And it's so fast.
I bet it was so loud in there too, wasn't it?
You know, the theater we were in was actually pretty small.
Oh.
It was not one of the bigger screens there. So it was not overdone. But, you know, it was fun. It was a fun thing to see in a crowded theater. You know, that's a really good popcorn movie kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. And then the other thing that I saw, based on a recommendation from listener Andy, was we went to see Land of the Lost last weekend. And, you know, I wasn't expecting much from it.
Right.
You know, it's Land of the Lost. Didn't really hear anything about it. I mean, you know, you heard about it leading up to it, but I didn't hear anything about it, you know, reviews-wise or anything. Not that I really pay much attention to that. I laughed. My wife and I saw it together. We laughed so hard in some parts of the movie that we were crying.
Really?
Oh, my God. So it was a terrible movie. Just like so stupid.
Right.
But some parts of it were absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Well, first of all, I like Will Ferrell in general. Like, yeah. I don't like everything he's done, but I like him in general.
Right.
And that whole thing that he brings to a character was, you know, totally there in this movie. And then I don't know who the other guy was. The guy who's like the third person who's the main guy. I don't know who he is.
Danny McBride?
I don't know. I don't know who it was. But and then the woman is the girl who was on that show with
Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, Pushing Daisies mm-hmm. with the pie guy. And she was fine. And then I don't know who it was that played the like monkey character. It wasn't a monkey, but it's like right. a monkey man guy because, you know, they're like back in time or whatever. Right. But he was really fun. I mean, he was really funny. And, I mean, the movie was just so stupid. But some of the stuff was seriously like crying, you're laughing so hard funny. And it was one of those kind of things, too, where it's like, you know, it went back and forth between being really stupid and then really funny.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, as happens a lot of times, like kind of like what you were saying with Twilight, towards the end of the film, they get a little bit too much into the we got to resolve the major conflict thing. And then it takes itself a little too seriously. And it
right.
ends up not being as funny then because they're doing too much other stuff. But then it kind of ended on a little bit of a funny note, too. That was kind of, you know, kind of funny. But again, stupid movie. But parts of it were absolutely hysterical.
Wow.
So, I mean, a couple things that were just so funny. And, you know, we were in the mood to see a funny movie, too. So I think that helped a lot. But and there was nobody there. There were like 10 people in the theater. You know, it would have been a lot better, I think, if the theater had been crowded even.
Right.
But there were a couple parts where we were laughing really hard where, like, nobody else was laughing. So, you know, I think some of it had to do with stuff that was particularly funny to us for
right.
certain reasons. But Yeah, I
well,
mean,
that's just, still saying something.
Yeah, just dumb, but funny still. And so thank you, Andy, for recommending that. Okay, so let's talk about guilty pleasures. You know, again, I'm not going to go off my diatribe about not feeling
no,
guilty
but you know what?
Stuff.
I have to say, when it comes to movies, more so than TV, I have to agree with you. I don't find that there are any movies that I love that I feel guilty about.
Right. I'll say one, though, that I know that some people will say, oh, God, how can you like that? And that's Cannonball Run. I absolutely love that movie. I think that's one of the best movies that was made, like, in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
It was actually written by Brock Yates, who was an editor for Car and Driver until a couple years ago. And the Cannonball Run was a real race that was run in the 70s. I don't know who organized it or whatever, but, you know, so he wanted to do a movie about it. But my understanding is that he wanted it originally to be a serious film. And he had Steve McQueen in mind for the lead, you know, and then, of course, Steve McQueen died.
Right.
And then it got turned into this kind of farce with a cast of thousands kind of thing.
Right.
But I love that movie. And I actually think that if you go back and watch it now, even though it's very dated, I mean, it's Farrah Fawcett, like she was just pulled right off of that poster.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, who are always good together. They're really funny together. I guess they were, you know, friends in real life. I don't know if they still are.
Dom DeLuise just died.
Yeah, so probably not so much anymore. But, you know, they're great together. I mean, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. is in it. Dean Martin's in it. Roger Moore. Farrah Fawcett. What's her name? Adrian Barbeau is in it. What's the guy's name? Mel Tillis is in it.
Right.
Who's the football player who I can't remember?
I bet that would hold up pretty well.
But so it's very dated from, you know, how everything looks. Obviously,
right.
The cars they're driving are older cars. Jackie Chan's in it, you know. So there's all these people in it. But the comedy in it is really, really funny.
Uh-huh.
It's very campy and very stupid. But, like, if you go back and watch it, it's actually stuff that's funny now to a big degree. And I think the comedy was actually way ahead of its time. So it's kind of this weird thing because it was never supposed to be the kind of movie that it ended up being. And
right.
yet it actually is really funny. So if you've never seen that movie and if you like cars and if you like campy, goofy comedies, definitely watch it because it's a lot of fun.
And there's some quality people in there.
Yeah. So. I mean, there are some very good, you know, actors in there. Like Roger Moore's character is hilarious because he plays a character named Seymour Farthing who's this Jewish guy whose parents are like extremely wealthy because not Seymour Farthing. I can't remember.
You're talking about a completely
now.
Different movie, aren't you?
No, I'm not. But his name is Seymour.
You know what? Now I think about it, that movie's terrible.
I can't remember his last name. But Seymour Goldfarb. That's right. And his father started a company that makes girdles, and that's how they made all their money. But he thinks he's an actor named Roger Moore, who's been playing a spy in all these British spy movies. So it's like the actor who plays James Bond. Playing somebody who thinks he's an actor who plays James Bond. So it's like this really ridiculous, goofy stuff like that. But it's really funny. And Jamie Farr is in it. What's her name? Bianca Jagger. Mick Jagger is one of Mick Jagger's. Is she still his wife?
No.
I don't know. I don't keep up with him. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so check that out. But I guess that's like one of the closest things I can consider. But I don't feel bad about liking it. I think it's a great movie. You have anything that could fall into that category?
No, I don't.
Okay. So then another thing that our listener Mike asked us about was to talk about actors and actresses who, if they're in a movie, that they're a big draw for us and, you know, kind of the thing where, like, you'll go see anything this person's in.
Right.
So is there anyone on that list
for you?
Yeah,
you know what? I got a couple. One, and here's the thing. I don't think he's a fantastic actor, but I have to say he really doesn't make a lot of garbage. I mean, usually the stuff he's in, I enjoy. And this is totally how I feel. Ethan Hawke.
Really?
Ethan Hawke doesn't really make too many bad movies.
What was the last thing he was in?
I don't know about the last thing, but I have his list.
I agree,
right here.
Though, that he's not the greatest actor in the world.
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead is probably the last thing I saw him in, which, very depressing movie. I mean, like, almost suicidal.
Yeah.
But
what was that movie he was in with Angelina Jolie? You know what I'm talking about?
No. But
wait, am I thinking of the wrong person? He's the guy in Gattaca, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah, he was in a movie with Angelina Jolie.
I don't know.
Oh, shoot.
I don't have that here.
Tony doesn't have his computer today, so he can't look stuff up.
No, but I do have his list of movies here. But Taking Lives, was that
Taking Lives, right. Yeah.
Okay, I never saw that. But I mean, some other,
it was kind of interesting.
Some other stuff he's done that I just thought he was great in Training Day. I like the movie Tape. I thought he was great in
You know, I didn't like Training Day.
I love Training Day, really?
I didn't like it.
Too gritty?
Yeah. Too, like, uncomfortable during the entire film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to feel like that. I'm okay with that kind of stuff in small doses here and there to elevate the tension in something. I don't like to feel like that for 2 hours straight. It's just like I feel terrible after the movie.
I could see that. You but, know? I mean, that really shows the effective nature of the movie.
Yeah.
But some other things. I mean, I love Gattaca. Gattaca is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishy-washy on that one. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I like it and sometimes I kind of like, yeah. It's actually kind of a boring movie.
It stays
slow.
Within its world.
It does.
Excellently.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I even liked him in the remake of Great Expectations. I know a lot of
I didn't see that.
Literary, you know.
Yeah.
They don't
probably
like
not
it.
Happy to hear you no. say that. Is that what you're
But even like earlier stuff like Alive or Reality Bites, there's really not much I've seen him in that I haven't liked.
Yeah.
Or at the very least I can say, you know, it was maybe I didn't like it, but it wasn't a piece of garbage.
Right.
So for that, I'll say Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
But I don't think of him as a tremendous actor. I mean, he's almost the same in most of his movies.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something else?
No.
I'll say the same for Angelina Jolie, because I'll usually go see stuff that she's in just because she's in it. And I think she's a better actor in some things than others, obviously.
Yeah.
I think she's wasted a lot. I think a lot of times people just want to have Angelina Jolie in their movie. I mean, come on. Gone in 60 Seconds. I think she was in there for 60 seconds.
Oh, really?
I mean, she's barely in the film.
And her head's really big on the poster.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, it's like Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie. She was barely in the movie.
Wow.
And I actually like that movie. That would be another one to put into the, if you believe in that sort of thing, guilty pleasures category.
Uh-huh.
If you like Cars, that's a great, great, like, movie to watch. Just sit down and watch. You know, completely vapid as films go. But still fun as a car movie. But I'll usually go see stuff with her. Sean Connery is another one who I'll usually go see just about anything that he's in, just because I want to see what's he going to do with this.
Right.
Is he even going to try to fake the accent?
I know you're not a fan, but I'll say the same of Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I don't care. She does nothing for me. I'm sorry. She does nothing for me. That's all I'm saying. You know, like, okay.
I mean, I don't hold so true to it that I went and saw Mamma Mia. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I have no desire to see
that. Well, and
that's
the whole thing. There's a lot of things that Angelina Jolie has been in that I haven't seen. There have been things that, you know, Sean Connery's been in. You know, I used to be like that with Harrison Ford, but he just got to be such a caricature of himself.
Completely.
That, what was it? I think I still have seen most of the things he's been in, but like that movie that he was in with Anne Heche, that was dreadful.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
That one with Josh Hartnett, too. Hollywood.
Hearts War? No?
No, Hollywood something.
He wasn't in that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then he had some action movie a couple years ago, another new action movie, and I'm not talking about Indiana Jones, which was terrible. But he had some action movie where like his family had been kidnapped and he had to try to get them back. That was pretty bad.
Mosquito Coast?
What? That was like 25 years ago. I mean, within the last 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know he's done much in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it was like within the last couple of years. It was something, again, where his family was kidnapped and he had to get him back. I think Famke Janssen probably played his wife. I don't remember.
She's always playing the wife.
She's always playing the wife. You know, I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I actually really like her.
You know, I used to really like her until she was on Nip Tuck. Did you see any of her on Nip Tuck?
I've never seen that show.
Hollywood Homicide is the movie I was thinking of.
Okay.
But some stuff he's done. The most recent thing, obviously, was that we've seen is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Firewall. Did you see that?
Firewall. I think that's the movie I'm thinking of.
K-19 The Widowmaker.
You know, I never saw that. Obviously, didn't hear much about it either. I remember hearing about it when it was out, but I never saw it. You know, submarine movies, it's like, that's a tough sell for me because Hunt for Red October was such a brilliant film
right. That
it's like, you know what? I can't imagine anyone doing a better submarine movie than
right.
that. You know, that's such a brilliant movie because there's almost no action, but you're like on the edge of your seat during the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sign of a good movie. One of John McTiernan's finest.
Thank you, Mr. McTiernan.
Thank you for that. So there you go. You got anything else? You got any podcast
recommendations? I do have some podcast recommendations. Some of my favorites.
Well, there's the old standby, Movies You Should See.
Movies You Should See, which I love, and yeah, I've mentioned
those
before.
Those people are really
funny. But I've got three others as well.
Okay.
I'm going to start from like the most casual. There's one called Seen Unseen. That's S-C-E-N-E and then Unseen. It's basic premise. One guy sees the movie, the other guy doesn't. And then the guy who saw the movie either tries to, you know, sell him on the movie or discourage him from seeing the movie. And then right. The guy tells whether he would go see it or not.
Right.
They just have a good chemistry.
Yeah.
And they're kind of funny. And it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And they're pretty current. Like, usually if a movie comes out within the week, you'll see it up on iTunes.
Right.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, that is cool.
One that's a little more serious but does the same thing, reviews movies as they come out, is Film Spotting. Now,
okay.
That one is by a couple critics that I guess are based out of Chicago.
Okay.
They work for Magazine and NPR. But that one's a little more, you know, they get a little more into the, like, filmmaking process.
Sure.
And it's a little more serious.
Are they annoying and full of themselves? Like, they know everything? Like, a lot of critics and reviewers?
Somewhat, but not to the point where it's aggravating.
Right.
Not to the point where you're like, you know...
Yeah.
Where they're almost talking down to you.
Right.
I enjoy it, but they're not very, you know, there's not a lot of joking.
Yeah.
But the one that I absolutely love and really takes you into the filmmaking process, it's the Creative Screenwriting Magazine podcast.
Okay.
And it's where just about every week they do a different interview with, and it's usually current with what's out at the time, with a screenwriter.
Oh, that's cool.
It's excellent, because you really get into the process of what made him put that in the movie and what he took out of the movie. And the way that the guy who interviews him does it is that he'll start with, how did you break into the business? And they'll talk about other movies that screenwriter has done and how he got to the point he's at now with
right.
this movie.
Right.
And they spend a lot of time on the movie. Now, I will say, I wouldn't listen to it unless you've seen the movie. Because,
yeah.
you know, they because talk about
yeah,
specifics
right,
in the
yeah,
movie.
Right. You'll have stuff ruined.
But I have learned so much just in the last few weeks from this podcast.
Well, that's cool.
Just about stuff going on. There was one guy, the guy who wrote Doubt. He said the reason he got into screenwriting, like, he wanted to write plays and that. And then he read, back in the 70s, he read the screenplay, before it had come out, read the screenplay for Scarface.
Okay.
And he said, which was written by Oliver Stone, he said it was such a piece of garbage that he's like, well, wow, anyone can do this. And he wanted to kind of like achieve something better than that.
Right.
You know?
I don't think I knew that Oliver Stone wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
Was that his first thing that he ever wrote?
No. I want to say he wrote Midnight Express as well.
Oh, okay.
No, he had been around for a while before that.
Okay.
But it just totally takes you into, you know, what they were thinking and you know, things. What I love is when they say, well, how is the movie that came out different from what you wrote on the page?
Right.
So they'll talk about how they, like, he wrote it completely different and they shot it different and then they went through testings and then, you know, they changed stuff. I mean, it gets into, like, total behind-the-scenes stuff that I love.
That's cool.
What's funny is when you listen to some of them are, like, some of the writers are a little full of themselves and
right.
a little, like, almost bothered by the questions.
Right.
Like, it really gets you into the, like,
yeah.
what's in their head.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote Benjamin Button,
yeah.
and the same guy who wrote Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
Terrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't really care for either of those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, he certainly is proud of his work.
Oh. You know what? Let's go back to the other thing. Actors and actresses, anyone who's in a movie who you're going to be like, I don't want to see that.
Okay.
Oliver Platt. I don't know why. Whenever I see that he's going to be in a movie, I'm like, oh.
He's so
what?
Obscure.
I'm like, why did they have to put him in there? I don't know why. He just
bugs
me.
It's his head.
His head is huge. But no, it's not just that. It's like he's like, I don't know why. Because like every once in a while they try to make him funny,
uh-huh.
but then he always seems like such a jerk that it's like, oh no, why is Oliver Platt in this? I thought it was going to be good.
Well, you know, I have my standard go-tos. I have the Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, I hate the Owen Wilson.
Sure.
I hate his nose. I hate his voice. I hate him.
Hey, that's not very nice.
Adam Sandler.
Okay.
But I have to say, okay, here's a guilty pleasure right here.
Oh, boy.
I did happen to sit through about 90% of Don't Mess with the Zohan. It was on cable. It's actually very funny.
Really? Because I heard terrible things about it.
Well, I would expect terrible things from
it.
It's actually very funny. I will say one thing about Adam Sandler. You know, I complained about him week in, week out.
Right.
I hate when he plays the doofus. Yeah. And in this movie, he doesn't play the doofus.
Yeah.
So I will give him a little credit in that this movie, it's stupid, but there are some really funny things in it. Now, there is Rob Schneider playing Middle Eastern and going completely overboard. So Rob Schneider would be someone I'd add to that list.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know, and that's when I said, when I talked about bedtime stories, that's what I said too, because he wasn't playing that character. He was playing just a regular, like, nice guy. And that's why I thought Big Daddy was great. I thought he was just like a you know.
He wasn't as doofusy, but it was still kind of a doofus.
In Big Daddy?
Yeah.
He wasn't a doofus. He was just a little bit of a slacker.
Yeah.
But you know, he came through in the end. That's what it's all about. Character changed. So there you go. Yeah, so Oliver Platt for me, you know, it's not the kind of thing where I won't go see the movie, but I'm just kind of like, oh, why'd they have to put him in there? I gotta watch
just
Oliver
so
Platt.
Obscure.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to think of who else. I know there are people. Well, you know what? I'm not a fan of Nicole Kidman. So if I know that I'm gonna go see a movie that she's in, I'm kind of like,
Yeah. Well, she takes herself too seriously.
She just seems like she has no personality. She's like so cold.
She's cold. She's
so cold. Andie MacDowell. Don't like her.
Yeah, I'll have to agree there.
Don't like her. Don't see the fascination. I know people who think she's the sexiest woman on the planet. Do not get it at all.
I will say, I know you probably hate when I name drop, but I have seen her in person.
Yeah.
And she is very stunning in person.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a fine-looking woman.
Yeah.
You know, there are people, you know, it's like anything else. There's like cute, there's pretty, there's hot, there's sexy, there's whatever. She's like nice, she's attractive.
Right.
But there's nothing beyond that for me.
Right.
She's like, you know, she's not an ugly person. She's, you know, nicer looking than a lot of people, but it's like, okay, whatever. I saw 10 people like that last time I was at the mall. You know what I mean?
Right. I will say one more. I don't dislike him. I just think if he's in the movie's not as good as it could have been if he wasn't the one in the movie.
Okay.
And I know you're going to disagree with me here. Brendan Fraser. I just think there's something about a Brendan Fraser movie that has high hopes and that it's always...
I think I read an article about that.
It looks like it... Like, for example, The Mummy, which the original Mummy, I was okay with.
Yeah.
I didn't hate... But I just think that he can't carry a movie like that. And because of that, I think the movie isn't as big as it could have been.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, actually. There's a certain amount of...
Leading man character that he doesn't have.
Right. I know what you're saying, because generally the movies that I've seen him in have felt like smaller films. Even The Mummy, which, you know... tries to be a big epic film,
right,
somehow feels a little bit more self-contained than it should.
And I think it's because he doesn't have the overall... I'm not saying he's not charismatic. I'm just saying to be the big swashbuckling hero, I don't think he quite has it.
Yeah, you know, I have to wonder, though, if that's him or if that's the people creating the films.
Well, okay, I would say that after, like, the first or second one of those, but just about any movie he's in, just like that Journey... Didn't you see that Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Was like
Wasn't
that
the same situation?
Right. But again, how much... I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm now curious, is that him or is that the filmmakers? Because, I mean, certainly, when was the last time you saw a movie, an adventure movie, that was as epic as Raiders of the Lost Ark? I mean, I can't off the top of my head think
of anything. No, but I could say adventure movies. Okay, now this isn't one that I loved, but I will say the star carried it is the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I mean, I didn't like them, but Johnny Depp certainly could carry those movies.
Absolutely.
And Johnny Depp, actually, if I can go back to big draws, I will say that very few Johnny Depp movies are bad.
Yeah, he's pretty... Well, I don't know if I'd say that they're not bad, but he's usually good.
But I'm saying the quality of the movie.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I like it.
Right. He's done enough stuff where he can be selective about what he picks, and they usually end up being better films.
Right.
And I'll usually go see stuff that he's in. Okay, I'll name a person who, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, who's not a big draw for me. And that is Tim Burton. I used to think that he was a lot more talented than I think now.
Well, because he's a retread. He just keeps... First of all, he just keeps redoing stuff. I mean, between Planet of the Apes, right, the Sweeney Todd, the, well, you know, the Headless Horseman one. What was it, Sleepy Hollow? That wasn't bad.
That was just okay, though.
Yeah.
I think the only...
The Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, he does a lot of, like...
And I didn't like that.
He hasn't done much original.
The only movie of his that I, like, love was Edward Scissorhands. Love that movie.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even a huge fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hell for that from people. I love stop motion. I think, you know, artistically and technically, it's great that he did that, but I didn't think the story was that great.
Right.
Corpse Bride, of the same kind of thing. It's just kind of like, whatever.
Right.
You know, I didn't have to see that. Didn't really.
Have you seen the stills from the new, he's doing Alice in Wonderland now?
Oh, okay.
With Anne Hathaway as Alice, and of course, Johnny Depp as Mad Hatter.
Right. I have not seen the stills from it yet. I knew that that was going on, but.
Exactly what you would expect. Whatever you're picturing in your mind.
Is it stop motion?
No,
or
no,
is it live action?
It's live action.
Yeah.
Whatever you're picturing in your mind, that's
what
he
would do
like.
With it, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
of course,
Alice in
Helena Bonham Carter as Queen of Hearts.
Oh, God. You know, I'm not a big fan of hers either.
No.
Not a big fan. Okay. So you got anything else?
That's it.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about just a few other things, and then we'll wrap it up with our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments
of the week.
And
prizes.
And prizes for the winners and losers, who are also winners because they get prizes too.
Right.
Be right back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. This is your host, Lou, and it's time for the fourth and final segment of our show, The Mashup, or, as our pal Tony likes to say...
The Moosh Moosh.
Yes, no, I guess crazy we're the, radio morning DJs. We're going to talk about crazy stuff. Where's all the sound effects for bells and whistles and donkeys and stuff while we're talking about traffic and weather?
I wish they could see your face. When, first of all, you're beat red right now.
Am I?
that was a lot of work, wasn't it?
A little warm in here.
I guess since it is the listener appreciation show, I should give the Moosh Moosh a little more effort.
Okay, so let's start this over. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the mashup.
Moosh. The Moosh Moosh.
Okay, now for me, would you bring it up a register?
Huh?
You know, the Moosh Moosh. Come on.
No, I think we've given it enough time.
All right, we don't have that much to talk about here, but you did want to talk about...
Yeah, we got a couple emails of people wanting us to talk about the iPhone 3.0 software and maybe mention the 3GS upgrade stuff.
Right.
We won't go into the list of, you know, I think we already went into the list of what's going to be new. But I do want to point out a couple things that I'm happy with and some of the stuff I'm not happy with the software. First of all, I had heard, and I thought we had even read it here, that one of the options we were going to have, and if it's there, I can't find it. You know when you like go to a web page and you find that there are like seven other pages open? I'd heard there was going to be a way to close all the pages at once, and I have not found it.
I don't know.
So if anyone knows how to do that or where it is, I've even looked for it online, and I've heard other people complaining about it as well. Yeah, I had heard one of the features was you could close all the Safari windows at once.
Huh.
So if anyone knows how to do that, if it is there, you know, send us an email, let us know.
That's pretty weird.
It's driving me crazy.
Huh.
But a couple little things I do like, and they're just little things that, you know, I don't even think were really mentioned, but I've noticed them. I like that now when you look into your recent calls, whether they be missed or not missed, it tells from which line they called you.
I know, that is nice. Because before, it would automatically call them back on whichever line they called from,
right,
but you didn't know which it was until you
like
hit
you,
it.
For example, I have like four different phone numbers for you.
Sure, because I'm very connected.
Yeah, and a lot of unnecessary bills. I don't know what that means.
Me either.
Another thing I like, there are some iPod features as well when you're playing iPod. I notice them more mostly when I'm listening to podcasts and that, but they have where you can listen to it at a different speed.
Right. You can slow it down or speed it up.
Right. And I think I would like that if you're listening to like an audiobook, say, and you just want to kind of speed it up a little.
Okay.
You can do it at one time or two times.
Sure.
I also like, there's a little button there where it'll go back 30 seconds.
Yeah, that is cool.
So a lot of times when I'm listening to a podcast, I want to go back to what they just said, and now I can just press
that. Because in your head, you're thinking, what did he say?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's actually a line from a movie. Do you know what movie it is?
No.
From Can't Buy Me Love. when he said you have the nicest rhododendrons in the neighborhood. She's like, what did he say? I don't care. You don't remember that?
I do. So those are some things that I like. I also like, though I don't know when I would ever use it, I like the Voice Memos app. I think it's done nice, and the quality.
Oh, I use that.
Do you?
Yeah. I like that because, you know, sometimes I want to just save a note about something that I want to do later, uh-huh. and it's too time consuming to type it.
Right.
Or email it to myself. So I like it for that kind of stuff.
How about some features that you like?
I wish I could say I like copy and paste, but it's so...
It's janky.
It is janky. It's very janky. I mean, it's hard to use.
It is.
You know, I haven't played around with it too much, but there were a couple times when I wanted to use it just to copy like a username and password from one thing to another. I like couldn't figure out how to select the text. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to do something else.
Right.
I'm just going to never log in again. So I don't.
Well, that seems a bit extreme.
So I don't like the copy and paste. And I was going to say the same thing, that I like that they have the little indicators now as to, you know, what line somebody called you from.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the global search is nice. I've used it a couple times. That's pretty cool.
I have not Spotlight, found that I've needed that.
Because, you know,
yet.
They have to give a name to everything they do.
Right.
Can't just call it global search because that's not cool or something. I don't know what else. I haven't played with it. I did notice that, you know, messages now is just messages and not
right.
MMS. Getting ready for the... Do we know when that's happening or not yet?
No.
The MMS.
They said later this summer, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But so I mentioned my neighbor Encore before. I was talking to him the other day, and he was saying that if you are willing to jailbreak your phone, that you can sell your 16 gig 3G phone to somebody for, let's say, $350, because it's still a lot cheaper than they would pay for a new unlocked one. I mean, a new, you know, if they were going to buy it without a contract. Well, can you even buy it unlocked? I don't think so, right? You like, can't buy a new iPhone unlocked anywhere, right?
On eBay. Well, I mean, granted, it's not completely new.
Right. There's no way to actually buy an unlocked iPhone.
From Apple? No.
Right. Or new from anywhere, period. Right? Yeah. So anyway, so if you're willing to jailbreak,
someone breaking a
jailbreak
a rule.
And unlock your iPhone, you could sell it for $350, and then I guess if you're at least a year into your contract, you can do the upgrade. You can get the new phone, the 3GS, for the contract price if you renew your contract.
So wait, if you're...
So for instance, you could jailbreak and unlock your current phone, uh-huh. your iPhone 3G, sell it on eBay for $350, and then go back to AT&T or Apple and say, okay, I'm more than a year into my contract. I want to get the contract price for the 3GS, and they'll give it to you.
So they'll do it just after a year.
Right, is what I'm saying. If you haven't used your phone upgrade option yet, which you obviously haven't because you still have your iPhone.
Right.
So that means that you could get a 32 gig for $299 with, you know, again, another 2 years.
Right.
But, you know, you could do it if you wanted to. And I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to.
So now why would you need to jailbreak it? I mean, because once you have the new phone, it bricks this phone.
Huh?
Well, I mean, it makes it so this phone won't work on that line anymore, but it still works.
Can't you take your SIM card out?
Sure. But, I mean, all you have to... I mean, you don't need the SIM card. All you have to do is sync it with your computer, and you have all that information.
Right. But the SIM card is what ties the phone to your phone number.
Right, but when they activate your new phone...
Right.
Then they will activate...
Right, that's why you got to unlock it and jailbreak it first before you sell it. Otherwise, the person won't be able to use it. You know what I'm saying? Then they'll basically have an unlocked version of it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think I'm going to do it, though. I can't stand the idea of being tied to AT&T for another 2 years.
Right.
It's not worth it to me.
Not for video.
No. And a compass.
And a compass.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Absolutely not worth it. It might be worth it to have a double the memory, and it is a lot faster.
Right.
But, you know, I'd rather wait and see what's going on a year from now.
Right. I agree.
Because I think Palm is going to improve a lot. You know, they haven't even really opened up, just like Apple didn't have, you know, third-party apps at first. The Pre hasn't opened up yet with that. the developer kit isn't, you know, widely available and stuff like that. And they've already, in the first 10 days, had already had like almost, I think, 750,000 downloads of the 40 apps that they have.
Wow.
So that says something. But anyway, so that's pretty much it. And then the only other thing is that listener Amy Z, that would be my wife, she, the one thing she asked me to look into was a new printer for our office at home.
Wait, you're going completely off script here.
What?
I don't see that anywhere on here.
I know. I just wrote this in after because I forgot about it. And you can't forget about stuff that your wife asks you to do or you get in trouble. But so she wanted me to look into a new printer for our office upstairs in our house because we have an HP LaserJet that's a few years old, and it's a color LaserJet. And the toner cartridges, the four toner cartridges, are like in this rotating drum. So, I don't know, four or five times a day out of nowhere, all of a sudden the thing starts making this horrible sound as it like rotates all the toner things to like shake them up to make sure the toner is evenly distributed or whatever. But the thing's really loud and it always ends up doing it at like 2 a.m. And I don't like, you know, I'm not going to remember to turn the printer off and on. You know right. what I mean? Because it goes into, power saving sleep mode anyway.
Right.
But the thing is such a racket. So I was at the store yesterday getting, you know, file folders or something, and I went over to look at the printers. And now the printers that HP has, the toner lay flat in this drawer. So I'm sure it's not, you know, clunking anything around, because what would it do with them?
Right.
So I might be getting a new printer soon. So there you go, honey. The end to your... Well, you know, because
Why don't you just call her?
She was waking up.
Why do you use this as your means of communicating with
your
wife?
Because I want to tell other people about this as in case they have a similar issue. That's the whole point. But because it sounds like either somebody's shooting at our house with some kind of rocket launcher.
Right.
Or because it's above our bedroom.
Right.
Or that like somebody's driving by playing their music really loud. It's so loud. It's really loud. But anyway. So there
Thank
you.
Thank you.
So that's it for the Moosh Moosh. So now it is time to talk about our best and worst entertainment moments of the week and
give away some cool prizes.
The prizes. So you are up first with your worst.
My worst. I'm sorry, Smith. I'm going to have to go with Twilight.
Oh.
I wonder if she suggested this just because she knew
thought
I would hate
it. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't hate it. I just, it's just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I was a 13-year-old girl, I'd love it.
So there you go.
So as your prize, Smith, I'm going to give you my version of an excellent teenage vampire movie. I'm going to give you the DVD, new DVD of The Lost Boys.
That is a great movie.
That's from when we were teenagers.
I haven't watched it in a while, so I don't know, you know, I wonder how well it's held up. But
well, it's got both the Coreys. So, I mean, right there, it's
right,
slam
it's got
dunk.
Both Coreys, the Haim and the Feldman.
Uh-huh.
See, now, I don't know if you remember this, but I had an idea for a great movie called Double Blind, an Experiment in Dating Hell, that would star both Coreys and both Heathers, Thomas and Locklear.
Aren't they much older than the
Coreys?
Well,
you know, that's kind of irrelevant. That's fine, though. But anyway, so yeah, that is a great teenage vampire movie.
Yes.
Starring Kiefer Sutherland, a.k.a. Jack Bauer.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bauer.
Jamie Gertz, the lovely
Jamie Gertz,
where what has ever happened to Jamie Gertz?
And Jason Patrick, which again, he's been in like what, two other movies since then?
Actually, he's got a movie out right coming out Friday.
Oh, really?
That one with Cameron Diaz.
Which what?
And Abigail Breslin. It's about the girl with cancer.
Right, and one of the daughters from Medium is in that too. She's the one who's sick.
Looks like a tear fest.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to see that.
Me neither.
No. But then he was in that movie Narc, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, but it's like those are the only three things he's ever been in. I'm making this up, but...
Well, there's Speed 2, that classic.
Okay. I was doing the guy a favor by not mentioning that. Jeez. I never even saw that.
No. Why would you?
No. And Speed was a great movie. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well,
it was at the time. If I were to watch it now, probably not.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good action movie. It's a good action movie, I think. Okay, so my worst is about Burn Notice, and it's nothing to do with the show itself, but the fact that, as I said, Amy gave me the second season on Blu-ray, and the quality of the Blu-ray is not that great. I don't know if the show was not actually shot in HD, or maybe it was on video and they add a film grain to it, or whatever, because, you know, they can make video look an awful lot like film now.
Right.
But I don't know what it is, but it's really grainy. And the level of detail is not what I have come to expect from the Blu-ray format. And so from that standpoint, just a technical standpoint of the media itself, and not the show, which I still think is great. That's my worst entertainment moment, just being disappointed with the quality of it. So as a prize to both Stritch and Kim, who were the listeners who recommended that I get back into Burn Notice, I'm going to give you each something that looks fantastic on Blu-ray, and that is The Matrix, the original film. Now
that's one of the best looking movies on Blu-ray.
So now if you guys don't have Blu-ray, I'm going to include a gift receipt with it so that you can take it back to your local Best Buy and get something else. But if you do have Blu-ray, then I hope you enjoy. Or if you already have it, you can exchange it, obviously, for something else. So there you go.
Well, so, you're giving, like, my prizes, you can't exchange. Keep them and love them.
So there you go. You know, I don't like to lock people in, okay? I don't like to follow the Apple mentality of doing things. All right, so what was your best entertainment?
My best, I have to go with Mad Men. I have to.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Great. That's cool.
That was from Amy. And Amy, as your prize, I'm giving you the DVD copy of a new copy of what I thought was one of the best movies.
Yeah,
last
I don't
year.
Want you people thinking that we're just pulling stuff off DVDs. The shelf at our homes and sending you crap we don't want anymore.
And a pair of socks.
A couple of unbreakable combs, some of those naked lady tees, a bottle of Old Miss.
Amy, you will be getting a brand new DVD copy of one of my favorite movies from last year, In Bruges.
Congratulations, Amy. So there you go. That's pretty cool. My best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to go back to Land of the Lost just because we laughed so hard during that. And we weren't expecting to.
Right.
You know, we were just expecting stupidity and nothing else. And there actually was some really funny stuff in there. So thanks again to Andy for recommending that. And as your prize, I also on Blu-ray, I'm going to give you a copy of my favorite Will Ferrell movie, which is Elf. Absolutely love that movie.
Elf.
And definitely a must-watch during the holiday season, yes. At least once. And if you're me, 5 or 6 times.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to do a cool holiday show later this year where one of the things that we talk about is stuff that you got to watch during the holidays. So
That'll
be fun later. But so thanks again to Andy for that, and enjoy your copy of Elf.
So we can send your prizes to you. Please email us.
To let us know your addresses.
Let us know your addresses.
Yeah, so you need to get addresses from Smith and Amy E. And I need to get addresses from Stritch and from Kim.
So just send all your addresses to podcast@pause.com.
So there you go.
And we will get your prizes right out to you.
Cool. Hope you enjoyed our first ever listener appreciation show. We're going to do this again at some point in the future. We're not sure when yet. But thank you so much for all the suggestions that you sent in. And keep them coming, because even if we're not doing one of these special shows, as Tony said before, we like it when people send us stuff to talk about. And it gives us something new, too, that maybe we wouldn't have found on our own. And
right.
In the case of, like, what you talked about with Mad Men, you know, it ends up being something really great. So always a good thing. So thanks again, and listen to us next week, and we will talk to you then.
Bye-bye.